Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's January 25, 2015, and this is episode 458. Following on from last week, today I walk you through the second half of my Hokkaido landscape photography adventure, a new tour that I just completed with special guest David Duschman and a group of incredibly talented photographers. We pick up the trail on January 11, 2015, when we drove back down the west coast of Hokkaido, the northernmost island of Japan, to photograph a small fishing harbour that I'd visited during my 2011 reconnaissance tour. For me, the highlight of this little harbour was a corner that had seven old scrapped boats in the snow. This was basically a fishing boat graveyard. To view the images that we'll talk about today on the blog, just go to mbp.ac/458 for episode 458. If you're listening in iTunes, then to view the images, you actually have to hold down the command key and then click the little icon next to the title in the top bar, the toolbar of iTunes. If you're listening to the Enhanced Podcast on an iPhone or an iPad, then usually you'd be able to see the images right there, but there's a problem with the iOS at the moment. The podcast app in iOS is only showing the first three or four images, so we'll have to wait for an update for that to work properly. Hopefully that won't be too long now. Either way, though, the best viewing experience is really over on the blog, so once again, go to mbp.ac/458 and click on the images to view them large and really see the detail. Okay, so this first image of the fishing boat graveyard is a 2-minute exposure, again using both an ND8 and an ND400 for a hair under 12 stops of neutral density, enabling me to do a long exposure in the middle of the day. I love this technique and found that it worked really well with the big heavy sky, with some patches of sunlight breaking through the clouds, especially along the horizon in the distance. If you click on this image on the blog and view it large, you can probably also make out the Dishili Island on the horizon on the far right of this photograph. In the next photograph of the same group of fishing boats, I decided to remove the neutral density filters and record the heavy dynamic sky as it was, again with the sun breaking through the clouds in the distance a little. This was a 400th of a second exposure, as I didn't want to blow out or overexpose the sky around the sun as it broke through the clouds. If you are careful to protect your highlights like this, there is still a lot of detail in the shadow areas to bring out in post or in a black and white conversion like this one, which I did, as with most of the set, in Silver Effects Pro 2. When comparing these two images, I feel as though the boat graveyard feeling is much stronger in this second image. The first one from above the boat shows the same boats, but at an angle that doesn't emphasize the fact that they're almost buried in the snow. From this angle, the metaphor of them being buried is much stronger and feels sadder in many ways. That's also backed up, of course, by that heavy, looming sky. Along the coast, the fishing boats play an important part in this tour, and on the following day, we drove around to the small fishing harbours along Cape Sawyer. These are along basically the northernmost tip of Japan. This image that I'm showing you now is from the first harbour that we stopped at as we made our way around the coast on January 11. Here I used a 14mm lens and got in close to emphasise the bow of the boat. I was also conscious here of the details like the ladder in the snow under the boat, and I purposefully lined up the bows of the rest of the boats to trail off into the distance. Again here, shot with a normal shutter speed. This was a 50th of a second with an aperture of f14 at ISO 100. A little further around the coast and we came to the same harbour where I photographed a line of fishing boats back in 2011, very similar to this image that I'm showing you now. We're back to 2-minute exposures again here, and this time the cloud movement did what I love as it moved towards the scene, and a very wide-angle lens, again 14mm, really helps to emphasise the flowing, radiating effect of the movement. Here I also really was excited by the way the snow looks like the sea. As David Duchemin got back on the bus at the end of this shoot, I showed him this on my camera saying that it looks like the boats are sailing on a sea of snow, and David laughed and said that he'd just said exactly the same thing to someone else as well. When I was here before searching for these locations, I was always quite conscious about going into these fishing harbours, but for this trip, we contacted most of the locations ahead of time, which made it much easier to just get on with doing our thing. You wouldn't know it from the photos, but some of these ports were actually quite busy with people doing things that can only be done in the winter while the fishing boats are up on the land like this. After these fishing port stops through the morning, we started to drive down the eastern coast of Hokkaido towards a small fishing village called Omu, which would be our home for another 2 nights. With Omu as our base, we took a drive inland to look for some more minimalist landscapes, such as this one, which is just a fence in the snow. I really enjoy this kind of photography, especially in a print, when you can see all of the subtle detail in the snow, and I like this particular shot because there's a stick poking out of the snow in the bottom right, which for some reason I just really like. I can imagine some people would clone that out, but for me these things are like Easter eggs. Easter eggs in software terms are what developers used to hide in applications, such as an entire 3D world in Microsoft Excel years ago, that could only be accessed if you knew a secret series of keystrokes. You don't hear about these so much these days, but finding a little detail in a photograph like this feels similar to that. On the afternoon of the 13th, we made time for a workshop session at the hotel, and I walked the group through an hour on Silver Effects Pro and Color Effects Pro, and David followed up with a talk about composition. Quite often by this point on a workshop like this, the group is happy for a bit of downtime, and if you can use it productively like this, it's always nice. That's why I carry a projector with me on most of these workshops too, and the hotel that we stayed at Omu had a really nice conference room with a screen that we were able to use. The following morning, after breakfast, we checked out and were due to start our drive to the next and final location. But as we got on the bus, the sun was bursting through the clouds, forming beautiful rays. So instead of starting our drive, we drove just a couple of minutes down to the port at Omu and had an hour photographing these rays with the beautiful port in the foreground. And of course, there were tetrapods. Here, I lined up the tetrapods so that they formed kind of a leading line from the bottom left and the closest tetrapod block, leading our eye into the scene around to the wall of the harbour and then the rays of sunlight. To capture the movement in the sea here, I went for a 4-second exposure this time. That's long enough to capture a wave or two and leave some texture in the water, but it's not so long that the rays of sunlight start to merge together. If you go too long with things like these sun rays, they weaken as they merge together. You can see the rays a little bit in this next image, which was a longer exposure of 60 seconds, but they are not as well defined as those in the previous photograph. Here, though, I'd recomposed and was using the rocks in the foreground to now anchor the image, and I really wanted to capture the water more smoothly now, so hence the longer exposure. This is a foreground that I feel was worth including too. Quite often these days I see people with foregrounds that don't actually add much to the image, if anything. It's as though people are taking the advice of putting something in the foreground too literally. Rules in photography are only ever guidelines to give us ideas on how to compose things, but when taken too literally can stifle our creativity. I really only like to add foregrounds like this when I feel they add something to the image. I know that it goes against recent trends, but every image does not necessarily have to have a strong foreground, although it is nice when they can have one. And I believe this is one of those occasions. Later in the day, we arrived at the Saroma Lake area. The Saroma Lake is a body of brackish water separated from the sea with a thin slither of land in the most part, but with a thin inlet through which the salt water of the sea flows into the lake. It's the third largest lake in Japan and the largest in Hokkaido, and it's dotted with multiple fishing ports, one of which we spent a number of hours photographing the fishing boats, as in this photograph. For this photo, I got in relatively close to the first boat, cropping it off to in the top right, and then including the bows of the other boats, but the attraction to this scene for me was the stark shadows cast by the boats. I also take it for granted, having lived in Japan for the most of the last 24 years now, but I imagine that the Japanese writing on these boats does give them a different feel to a similar scene in from many other countries as well. As I narrowed down my selection of images to show you in these two episodes, I was conscious to try and give you a good spread of subjects and scenes, but I couldn't resist also including this other boats and shadows shot, which was literally just a few minutes later looking in the opposite direction to the previous image. For me, I actually found it interesting that the owner of the boat in the foreground, the Koryu Maru, had decided to add the name in Roman characters, which I've never seen before on a fishing boat. Again, though, it was the shadows, and here the flowing form of the drift snow, almost looking like waves on the sea, that attracted me to this scene. The prevailing winds that blow between the boats as it snows is obviously what's responsible for this, and I imagine that it happens a lot, but I just found these shapes very pleasing. We were careful, of course, as a group, not to destroy these patterns until everyone had gotten their own shots, and when possible tried to just leave them as pristine as possible when leaving. Later in the day, we drove along the northern side of the strip of land separating the Saroma Lake from the sea, and found a way down the bank to the edge of the lake with this beautiful old tree, and again the sun was breaking through the clouds causing these beautiful rays. I have some wider images with the entire tree in two, but quite like this tightly cropped image, with all the grasses and the plants in the snow playing a larger part in the scene. You wouldn't know it from the photo, but at this point, there were about six of us all down there, just sitting around in the snow, making jokes as we worked the scene. I love the camaraderie like this when travelling with my groups, although a lot of what is said can often not be repeated in public. The following day, we headed inland again, looking for some minimalist scenes, and at one point, we rounded a corner and were presented with this scene. This is a 1:2 aspect ratio crop of a single frame, but I also used a longer lens flipped into portrait orientation and shot a series of images for a wider stitched panorama, which I can't wait to print really large and maybe do a gallery wrap of. This scene was simply beautiful, and with the frost on all of the trees and the pristine snow in the foreground, it felt like a glade of heaven, really. Later in the day, David noticed a small copse of trees on top of a hill as we drove around, and although I got a shot of that copse as well that I really liked, using my last image of the 12 for this episode, here is the last image of the set. This is the line of trees just beneath the one that David had seen. Again, I just really like the simplicity of this scene, with the trees complemented by the fence and vice versa. One thing to note here is that because this scene was quite far off, I borrowed a new Canon 100 to 400 Mark II from one of the participants, and compared to my 70-200 with the 1.4x extender on it, the new 100-400 is incredibly sharp. I've even heard that it's sharper than the 70-200 without an extender, which is hard to believe, but I'm thinking that this statement is probably true. I'll be taking my 100-400 Mark II on my next two Hokkaido wildlife tours starting tomorrow, and I'll be sure to follow up and let you know how this lens performs, in addition to my updated findings on the 7D Mark II when these tours are finished. Anyway, that takes us to the end of this two-part update on my first landscape-only Hokkaido tour. I hope you've enjoyed following our footsteps. I actually slipped up, as in made a mistake, on the final morning. If you've followed this podcast for long and have listened to previous tour updates, you'll know that I usually finish with a recording of comments from the group. On this tour, I continued to look for photo opportunities until we literally pulled into the airport car park on the last day, and it totally slipped my mind, so I have nothing to play you. Sorry about that. So I am travelling again for the next 2 weeks with the first of the wildlife tours in Hokkaido. So I'm going to release this on the Sunday, and instead of a Monday, the usual schedule. And I probably won't be able to release something in the middle of the trip, and I haven't had time to pre-record. So sorry about that too, but I will, if I can, process some photos and post just a quick hello from the first tour. And if I get a chance to do a quick recording in my hotel room, I'll do that as well. Otherwise, though, stay tuned and I'll be back in 2 weeks with an update on that trip. And we'll start to touch on some of the new gear as well, as I mentioned. Note too that I have started taking bookings for the 2016 Hokkaido Landscape Tour, which you can find at mbp.ac/HLPA for Hokkaido Landscape Photography Adventure. And there are buttons there to pay your deposit and make your reservation if you'd like to join us for another wonderful adventure. I should also mention that our two Japan Snow Monkeys and Hokkaido tours for 2016 are filling very fast, so if you'd like to join us, do check your schedule and visit mbp.ac/ww2016 to book your place for these tours before they sell out. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends, and if you don't already, please subscribe in iTunes or your favorite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. You can find me on Google+, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram now, and links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back maybe next week, probably in 2 weeks' time with another episode. But in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.